intercepted by Notre Dame.
For Notre Dame football fans, there's no sweeter sound than the words,
touchdown Notre Dame,
or Irish win.
He's in for touchdown. The Irish have come from behind.
As a fan of the Fighting Irish, you know that Saturdays in the fall are not just game days. They are unforgettable experiences. Welcome to a fan's perspective on Fighting Irish football. This is Dome and Domer. Here are your hosts, Mike Brammer and Ed Jordanic.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer. My name is Mike Brammer, joining me, Ed Jordanic. And for the next 20 minutes, we're going to talk about the clearly ups and downs of the 2010-2011 Notre Dame basketball program. I'm not going to start off with the haters versus the lovers.
Oh, go ahead.
Mike Bray.
I would argue. The audience would be so disappointed, Mike, if you didn't.
Yeah, I hear you. But I would say it's more like the likes and dislikes. I don't think there's hate for Mike Bray. Clearly this is the season that kind of epitomizes the ups and downs of him as a head coach at Notre Dame. And, obviously everybody's disappointed with the loss against Florida State. However, there's two sides of the coin. Why can't we just seem to convert when it comes crunch time, whether it's the Big East tournament or the NCAA tournament? And there's definitely some reasons for and against that. There's also reasons for and against why we do well in the regular season. And, clearly that's where the positives are for Mike Bray. But I will start out with this. I was disappointed, and here's why. Going into the game, there were two glaring issues with Florida State. One, they turned the ball over. They averaged 16 turnovers a game. And two, they extend defensive pressure against a set offense. We knew that going into the game. Those were the two biggest things. I didn't see us adjust to any of that in the course of the game, except when it was out of control and we started pressing, and lo and behold, they started turning the ball over. But outside of that, I think that's where the big gripes are. There's this attitude of the just play it straight, Mike Bray approach. And yeah, in the regular season that works, but when it comes crunch time, when every little thing matters, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that just gets exposed, and unfortunately, I think that's what happened against Florida State.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I didn't see any strategic problems, or I didn't see us. I mean, did you think that we had bad looks? I mean, did you think that Abramitis wasn't open? I mean, did you think we just missed shots?
We didn't miss shots, but here's what I...
I think we didn't... The Louisville loss, obviously just wrecked these guys. I mean, I don't understand, I guess if I have any, kind of criticism, they obviously put a whole bunch of emphasis on getting to the Big East final and bringing home a championship. And you know what? I could care less about a Big East championship. I mean, it's just not what it's about.
I would agree. And there could have been some of that. However, in defense of that game, as bad as we played, we still almost won regulation.
But what I'm saying
is that they
put a lot of emotional eggs in that basket. And when it didn't happen,
yeah, but
they came
beat
out flat
Akron.
Against Akron, and they completely laid an egg against Florida State. Did you think their intensity
they
was
did,
there
but,
against
but,
Akron or Florida State? I didn't.
No, but I would. But here's the argument. I think that's indicative of Mike Bray and the 10 years he's been at Notre Dame. I do. I think that we've come out. I thought the same exact thing against Washington State when, yeah, that was an if game, but we clearly should have won that game. We had more talent. You could argue that we don't have as much athletic a talent as Florida State, but we were the overall better basketball team.
Not that night.
And not that night. And I will
some
say this.
Teams,
I mean,
listen,
it,
when you get to
you know, in defense of Mike
some
Bray,
teams are just going in the right direction, and suddenly everything clicks. I mean, basketball. It's a funny game. It's a funny game of momentum. And what was different about this season
but we
for
won.
Notre Dame
well,
was – Their bad stretches were very short and contained, and then they got right back on it. I mean, Florida State executed perfectly. Everything went in. I mean, they had about four three-pointers in the first half that practically hit the top of the backboard. I mean, you know.
Right. I would, and there were definitely some turning points in that. You know, the ball, the one shot from the three-pointer that hit the rim like three times and fell in, I think that was followed almost immediately by that
right.
bank shot
right.
from that freshman with,
right.
you know,
but
no time
But when you combine
left.
That with playing with confidence and with a team that's just so obviously so much deeper and superior, I don't know about superior, well, pretty, I mean, superior athletically. I mean, they just
athletically,
they
I would
ran
agree.
Waves but, of guys at us, you know.
They did, but here's what I thought was going to happen, which I was disappointed we didn't see. You knew that they were going to handle us on the offensive side of the ball. They extend great. There's a reason that they lead the nation in defensive field goal, and not only the nation this year, but in the last 10 years. Nobody's done it better than them. So that being the case, why didn't we see an attitude of or an approach of pushing it up the floor and then having Abramidis and Hansborough and Scott fill the gaps to pull up it to get
Mike,
open looks
Mike,
at three.
We did do that. We didn't make. I mean, we didn't make
and
sure
I
we
didn't.
Pushed it. We took. We the fact of the matter is that Florida State
the
Florida
second
State
half we did
what they hadn't done all year, which is shot the basketball well, and we didn't do
right.
what we had done all year, which is shoot the basketball well. The game is about getting the ball in the basket, and we didn't do it. We didn't do it that well against Akron. We completely checked out. I mean, you see what Hansborough shot in his last basically five halves of basketball at Notre Dame? 30%.
Right. And some of that was, you know, just the defensive
Yeah,
tendon.
No, exactly. I mean, Florida,
I mean I thought,
you're right. Florida State's a good defensive team. I'm not taking anything away from them. But also, the way that we were going to beat them is basically if we shot somewhere between, you know, in the low 40s from three and in the high 40s, you know, or 50% overall, right? Because we're just not going to beat too many teams
right.
that are better athletically than us unless we shoot those percentages, because we're not going to get the kinds of open looks against a Florida State athletically that we may against, you know, whatever, a team like Rutgers that's
right.
kind of down
right.
or something like that, or a, you know, a whatever. But I just thought it was, you know, and I listen, I mean, the Mike Bray thing, I'm disappointed. He's got to be crushed. He had a bunch of guys this year who got it done in the Big East all year long. But, you know, you look around. I mean, can you name on one hand the coaches that are consistently good in the NCAA tournament? And I know he's way below average. But who, you know, who are they? I mean, Rick Barnes, disaster. Boeheim was a disaster before he won it all. Jamie Dixon, disaster. I mean, you know, who consistently is going deep in the tournament, or at least, you know, to the Sweet 16? Calhoun, you know, obviously does a good job. Krzyzewski obviously does a good job. You know, Kansas and North Carolina. But that's like four or five teams. I mean, you know, I mean, Brad Stevens, because he's
yeah, I would
for
agree.
2 years.
No,
but
yep.
you know what I mean? So
right.
all, I think
I would agree with you.
Fans, what we have to do is hope that lightning strikes one of these years, we get a magical run, and, you know, and kind of – and it happens, and maybe that's the best that we can hope for. Like, it kind of, you know, like Syracuse fans were completely down on Boeheim forever. They lost to some terrible teams in the first and second round. And then, now I don't know, you know, I don't think Bray is ever going to get a Carmelo, you know, which is what
right.
it might take to,
right.
to break through. But, I mean, that's kind of our lot in life, and it's disappointing, but.
It is, and I think that's what it all comes down to. And I think where the frustration with Notre Dame fans comes in is. Are we a school that can do better than what we're doing right now? And the argument would be that might be the case. I mean, if you look at the notoriety that we gain for players that have come through here, I mean, it's a marquee place to go. And when I say marquee place, meaning that you can make a name for yourself.
But don't you,
Troy Murphy did it.
Didn't you like watching this year's team so much better than the team that was focused around Heron Godey or focused around Murphy or focused around Chris Thomas? I mean, I just enjoyed watching this team so much better.
They were. No, they were. And I think that's what the sad part about it is, you watch this team this whole season and you thought, okay, this is the magical year. We have the ingredients to make a run. Not that we were going to win the thing, but in my mind, get
yeah.
at least
no,
to the Sweet 16.
Disappointed. Yeah,
let's get to the next
like an opportunity lost
weekend.
And
And it was. And it was opportunity lost. And not only that, we would have faced VCU. Not that they're a bad team, don't get me wrong, but they're clearly not somebody that's going to make you shake in your boots, which means, you know, we could have gotten to the Final Eight. I mean, we could have literally gotten to the Final Eight.
The NCAA tournament is filled with stories of teams that look terrific during the year going in and fall flat on their face, and other teams who, I mean, would you be shocked? I mean, if Florida State, to tell you the truth, if Florida State plays like they played against us, I think they're going to be in the Final Four.
Oh, I do too. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. But they won't shoot as well as they do against us.
They probably won't.
I mean,
but you know, but let's say they do.
They won't.
You know what I mean? In other words, they would be a team.
Oh, they would.
That nobody said going into the tournament, or you know, very few, that like this is a team that's getting hot at the right time. Or like you said, I mean, the thing is their matchup was great because their Achilles heel was turnovers. And we're just not going to turn over a team. You know, we're not going to.
Right. We're not going to put that. We don't come from behind.
We're not
going to.
You know, we're not going to. They didn't make mistakes. So, but it's a lot of it. It's just a weird. You know, it's a weird thing that clicks. I mean, so you know, I mean, it would not shock me if. I mean, we'll probably have two or three number one seeds in the Final Four, but as usual, there'll be some team that just kind of hits it at the right time, and we just got to hope that one of these years we're that team.
Right, and you know, there is, in defense of Mike Bray, the NCAA tournament is great for one reason and one reason only, and that is because there isn't much that separates any of the 64 teams that are in there, except for the 1-16 games. There really isn't, and you look at a Florida State, a VCU, and the fact is, you can't really be surprised by that because there is that much talent.
I mean, look at some of the teams that Butler lost to this year, right? I mean, you know, and then they beat Pitt, and you know, and so, you know, but that's what makes it great. I mean, you're right; that's what makes it a great tournament. But I wish in the Sweet. I mean, I was really, really thinking that we could win two games this year, regardless of what regional we were in, or you know, what bracket or whatever, and so it's a bummer. It's a real bummer. I'm sure they're
it is, and I thought the second the brackets were announced, I mean, immediately I was looking to game two and thinking, you know what, it's going to be Florida State, and that's about as worse of a matchup you could have for us in the second round.
Yeah, well, you know, I was up there
and I
watched
knew
the,
it
you know
going
I was
in.
There watching Florida State and Texas A&M play, and you know, I was just really ticked off. I hadn't brought in a book or a magazine with me. I mean, it was just a brutal game for about an hour, you know, and 20 minutes, and then, you know, it kind of spiced up a little bit in the second half. But, you know, but I didn't. I just thought, you know, I guess I looked out there and I didn't see a team that was, you know, any significantly more athletic than, you know, Louisville or Syracuse or, you know, Pitt, and I didn't think they were as good a team, you know, maybe fundamentally as some of those teams. But again, you know, familiarity is kind of a key thing. I mean, Notre Dame has been in the Big East for a while now, and they know how to play some of these Big East teams.
Right.
And but the tournament's not like that. You know, suddenly you're facing guys, you know, you know, familiarity gets you a little bit in your comfort zone. And when you play a team like Florida State that's just completely different, you know, they were so obviously
different, but you know, right? That, but again, I go back to the whole point of there's two things that were glaring. I just didn't see us make any strategic moves.
I don't know what they could. I don't know what they could have done, to tell you the truth.
And I mean, the fact is, Florida State just shot way better than you could have ever imagined. I mean, when three of those 3-pointers go in, that. You know, that, I mean, that's nine points.
It wasn't just that. I mean, you started to see cracks in the armor, you know, in that second half of the Louisville game, where, you know, we had taken really good care of the basketball all year, and we, you know, we made some bad turnovers down the stretch in that game. We missed free throws down the stretch against Akron. We made some bad turnovers, had some bad entry passes. And then in that Florida State game, you know, I mean, just in the first 10 minutes, you know, there was just like way out in the front court, a pass to Hansborough, just goes right off his hands out of bounds.
Yeah, he let it go out of bounds.
You know?
I mean, it was just taking his eye off the ball.
Stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that was just totally uncharacteristic. Yeah. Totally.
Were,
And it was, you know, and also I was a little disappointed in Carlton Scott. I just kind of felt like he let the game get to him a little bit. And there was one that was one of the best moments of the year for me, but it was during a timeout, not during a timeout, but during a foul. He's coming the team right. gathers at the free throw line to discuss before they break, and he grabs Hansbrough's shirt, and Hansbrough just grabs him and says, "Don't touch my shirt." It was just hilarious.
No, they were frustrated.
And it just
they
goes to really show, you could just tell that
you know they're not deep, and you know when did no. they
have? And that definitely hurt. Stretch,
during the season, it was when Scott was out for three or four games. You know, and they just, you know, they don't have the firepower. They don't have, you know, I mean, like, you know, when, like, a buddy of mine said, you know, when he saw Joey Brooks take off his sweats, that's when he went to bed. You know, he knew it was
yeah,
over.
No,
you
know,
he knew that was
yeah,
a desperation move. You know, so
wasn't a good sign, and that's you know, that's the way it is. Yeah.
So you want to talk about spring practice a little bit? It started today, you know.
I guess. Well, that, or if we can even get to spring practice. You know, I'll tell you, I was, when I saw that, and I'll be the first, this is the first time in my adult life that I kind of am leaning a little bit towards the kid in this case. And when I say that, I guess what I'm getting at is, yeah, I mean, that Michael Floyd made a huge mistake. There's no doubt about it. However, I just wonder if all of a sudden this is going way too far. And the fact of the matter is, he definitely... Well, I mean, I think he definitely deserves to be punished, but should he be literally forced to leave the university as a result of this?
Well, there's a lot working against him. I mean, you know, it's his third offense. It's, you know, it's he's in an environment that's, you know... you know, he's not helped by the fact that Notre Dame has gotten some heat for the way it's handled some disciplinary issues, you know, with football players already this year. You know, precedent isn't good in terms of the, you know, the way Yeatman was handled. And, you know, and yeah, there's new people in charge of residence life and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, you know, and plus he's at the end of his career, right? It's not like he's a freshman who made a dumb mistake. And they can sit him for a semester or a year, and then he can come back. It's not a Kyle McCarthy, you know, situation or something like that. I mean, so I don't, you know, I mean, unless he comes into their, you know, his disciplinary meeting, you know, with a counselor, breaks down and says he has an alcohol problem, this is what he's doing about it, and, you know, kind of throws himself on the mercy of the court, and they say, you know, okay, well, you know, you can practice with the team, you know, starting in the fall, and then, you know, you can get back on the field, you know, for USC. I mean, you know, they don't have a lot of options here. And I think, you know, I think Kelly, you know, Kelly wasn't going to, you know, end his career because, you know, you got to think a little bit bigger picture. And for future recruits,
yeah, no, I agree.
Future recruits and current players, you know, let the university kick him out of school.
Yeah, and he did the right thing there. I totally agree. I mean, that's the right move. I just wonder. The problem I have is, you know, looking back on students and athletes, should they really be treated differently? And I don't think they should. I mean, I think it should be consistent across the board. And if they end up prosecuting him, then I think you got a very serious matter on your hands. And I'm in full.
Well, if he's treated like anybody else who gets a DUI in this county, you know, he's going to get, I mean, you know, he's going to get whatever probation and his license suspended. And I mean, but, you know, he's not going to be in jail. I mean, you know.
No, he's definitely not going to be in jail. It's a first offense. You know, he's going to have to do his defensive courses.
Pre-trial diversion, all that stuff or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but there's ways, exactly. I mean, the other thing is the guys that are smart can even get off on their first.
Well, yeah, but I mean, this is, I mean, he blew a 1-9.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this is a guy who's driven drunk before. I mean, if you really want to look at it, I mean, if he's driving around with that kind of a blood alcohol level, then it's chances are it's not the first time he's, you know, gotten behind the wheel of the car after drinking and perhaps drinking too heavily. So it's...
Right. And you know, the one thing, you know, I think a lot of...
He might have a problem.
Yeah. Could very well be that a lot of people are thinking to themselves, you know, what an idiot cop. Why wouldn't he have, you know, given him a break? What we don't know is if have there been other breaks that we don't know about, and this was finally it, and they just said, you know what, man, you've been given too many breaks already. You're going to pay the price.
Listen, if you're a senior captain 2 days before the start of spring practice, and you're coming home at 4 a.m, completely loaded in your car onto campus, you know, I mean, he was caught by campus police. It wasn't South Bend police.
Right.
Well, you know, then you're a dumbass. I mean, sorry to use that phrase, but I mean, your judgment is so incredibly poor, and you either have a problem, you know, which, you know, if you do, then obviously you know, there's issues there, and it's not completely under your control. You have an addiction, or you've got an issue with drinking or whatever, or you don't deserve to be a captain of the Notre Dame football team, and you don't deserve to be on the team for a good long while, if not, you know, forever, given what you're supposed to be at that stage in your career. So, you know, I mean, I think that if he's dismissed, you know, it's probably better for him and probably for the program in the long run. As much as I'd like to see him on the field, you know, he needs something very valuable taken away from him, maybe, to never get behind the wheel drunk again, because the ramifications go way beyond football for what he could have caused. So,
No, I would agree with that. And I ultimately really do think that's what's going to happen. I don't see him playing another down in Notre Dame. In light of everything that's gone on, especially the way they fumbled the incident earlier this year, I just don't see him getting any break whatsoever. I think he's absolutely screwed. He couldn't have picked a worse time.
And you know what? His teammates have to be just absolutely just, you know, I mean, a good portion of them are, I mean, you remember Robert Blanton, you know, sending him notes saying, come back, Mike, because I want to be the best that I can be. You know, I want to keep facing you in practice every day. You know, Robert Blanton has to be just hacked off at him beyond belief. You know, Harrison Smith, his fellow captain, has to just be really pissed, you know. And it's a bad, you know, he just made a huge mistake. And it's, you know, I was really looking forward to seeing him dominate. And I think he would have.
And it would have been, it's really too bad.
If you're Jordan Atkinson right now, you're like, God, why couldn't I have enrolled early? You know, getting serious reps, and who knows, by the fall, you know, he'd be right there in the mix probably, because they're not strong at that position.
No, that's right. Well, they were already saying that, who knows if we end up moving to a two tight end approach in light of this situation, and that is something that Kelly's done before. So, you know, it's sad, it's unfortunate. I'm not worried about it as far as it impacting the 2011 season, because I do think that Brian Kelly's the kind of guy that
somebody
just works around that.
I mean, and they'll work around it.
He's got he's building a program where programs survive, that kind of stuff. So it's just unfortunate.
I feel bad for him.
The whole detraction.
But
it is. It's unfortunate for Michael, but you know, this is one of those moments where he's got to grow up, and in the long run, for him personally, it'll probably be maybe the best.
You know, the other thing is, it doesn't in this this uncertain labor world of the NFL. You know, it's not like he's got someplace to go right away if he gets kicked out of school or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, he's really screwed himself in terms of, you know, teams are going to look at him a little different. You know, he definitely cost himself some money. He's definitely going to get drafted. You know, if he has to go to the supplemental draft, he'll be lower there. You know, it's not just a Notre Dame, you know, team that's kind of hurt by his, you know, and it's him personally and professionally. You know, his reputation takes a hit, and, you know, he's not going to be able to probably drive a car for a while. I mean, it just, you know, it causes a lot of problems.
Yeah,
so.
It does. Yeah, and it's unfortunate. But, you know,
Lou,
hopefully that'll be the last of...
Did you see tonight that Dr. Lou is actually going to be Dr. Lou at Notre Dame?
Is he getting an honorary doctorate? I didn't know that.
He is.
Wow.
He is.
There you go.
No.
Well deserved.
and actually, he's going to give the commencement speech at Trine, which is in Angola, Indiana, where my wife teaches. So I'll get to go to commencement, and he won't speak it at Notre Dame's. Of course, he'll just be on the stage. But you know, the week before that, he'll be out here for to give a commencement speech. So I'm sure my wife would prefer that whatever they're paying him to do that went into the professor's bonus pool.
Yeah, I hear you.
But they had Bobby Knight last year, so she's just like, you got to be kidding. Nice. What are they doing bringing these sports yahoos for commencement? So it's pretty funny, yeah.
Oh, wow. All right, we'll leave it there. Unfortunately, this finishes the season for us. I would imagine we'll hop back on with some spring ball highlights. But for now, you've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Ed Jordanik, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening.